Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In 1955, a group of colleges and elite high schools founded the Advanced Placement Program. The idea was to give talented students a bigger challenge and a chance to skip introductory courses once they got to college.
AP was a huge hit. In the 2010-2011 school year, 2 million high schoolers, almost one-third of all students nationwide, were taking AP courses. Massachusetts ranks fourth in the nation when it comes to the percentage of students taking advanced placement classes.
And therein lies the problem, according to one critic of the program. AP has become a rat race, he says, a creativity killer, and a money-making machine for the College Board, which administers the AP program. In short, John Tierney says AP is a scam.
And Tierney has seen both sides of this debate. He was a college professor at Georgetown and Boston College for 25 years, and then a high school teacher at Newton Country Day School for a decade. He wrote his scathing critique of AP for TheAtlantic.com, and he joins us now. John Tierney, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So in your article, you write, the AP classroom is where intellectual curiosity goes to die.
Yeah, it sounds like hyperbole, but actually that's one of the more accurate statements in my piece.
So tell me about your personal experience in teaching an AP course. Why do you feel this way?
My feeling is that AP courses are too content intense. They try to cover too wide a range of material in each subject, and that leaves the teachers and the students racing through it to try to do the coverage.
Well, it's interesting your perspective because, as we mentioned, you've both been a college professor teaching government and history.
Yes. And just government. American government.
And you were teaching American government in high school as well, and AP courses. So tell me specifically what happened when you got to Newton Country Day and you said, I think I'm going to teach an AP government class. What happened?
Well, it wasn't so much the AP government class that was sort of a problem. I had been teaching the college equivalent of an introductory American government course for all those years that I was at the college level. It was the AP U.S. history class that threw me off. I hadn't had a survey of American history myself since high school. So I went to a one-day sort of boot camp for new AP U.S. history teachers down at the Kent School in Connecticut, where we were sort of introduced to the expectations of an AP course and shown various textbooks that they thought fit well with the AP curriculum and so on. And then I went back to school and was there in the classroom trying to learn the material along with my students. And I can tell you, I can understand why they felt inundated.
Well, you've written that it felt something like a long march.
A forced march.
A forced march.
Because the College Board lays out an expected curriculum. And, of course, the teacher, if the teacher cares about how the students do on the test, has to try to cover that material. And in my view, the problem with AP courses is that it then leaves the class with no flexibility, no creativity. That's why I say it's where intellectual curiosity goes to die.
Did you feel that it was comparable, though, to the same courses that you were teaching when you were at BC and Georgetown?
I can't speak to the AP U.S. history course, which I only taught for the 3 of the 10 years that I was there. But the AP American government class was comparable in some ways, but in most ways not. It covered far more content than I ever tried to cover in my college courses. In my college courses, I was free to drop subjects that were not of interest to me or I felt important to the students. But the big difference was that in my high school classes, I was not able to take the time to introduce them to fundamental concepts that might take 2 or 3 days to cover. And there's just no time in the curriculum to do that.
So we posted last night on Radio Boston's Facebook page that you'd be joining us today. And I think I posted it at about 8:30 at night. And within minutes, we got lots of responses from people. I mean, this has really hit a nerve.
All my enemies.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, because as we said earlier, Massachusetts ranks fourth in the nation in terms of numbers of the percentage of students taking AP courses. And Susan Shea Connolly wrote on our Facebook page that her son took an AP AP European History subject that he loves. He always did well in his history classes. But I would have to say he didn't enjoy the class because there was no time for interaction and so much curriculum to cover. So she's echoing exactly what you said.
And that rings correct with me.
So take us to the bottom line, though. Why do you say in your Atlantic.com piece that it's a scam?
I think that, as you said in your introduction, we've got, what did you say, 2 million high school students taking AP now?
Yeah, at least.
That's gone up from 1 million in 2001. And there has been this deliberate effort on the part of the College Board to expand the audience for AP classes. And my view is that many of the students, especially in, you know, kind of wealthy suburbs and in private schools who are taking these classes, are there not to challenge themselves with academically rigorous courses, but they're there to game the college admissions process.
Because they get a boost from having taken an AP course.
Most schools, if you get a B in an AP course, they give you not a 3 on your, you know, to factor into your GPA, but a 4. Now, I think that's wrong. There are some states, like California, where it is a state mandate that the regents, the college admissions offices have to give that point bump up to anybody with an AP course on their record, whether or not they ever even take the AP exam.
Hmm.
Now, to my way of thinking, that's absurd.
Well, listeners, we are talking about advanced placement courses in high school, and our guest, John Tierney, who's a former professor at Boston College and Georgetown University and also taught AP U.S. History and American Government at Newton Country Day School, he's written for TheAtlantic.com a blog post entitled AP Classes Are a Scam. So what do you think? Have you or are you taking AP courses? Have your kids taken them? Did they seem like a survey course that was ready to prep the student for college? Or did the student feel overwhelmed and maybe had to take 3, 4, 5, 6? I was reading today students taking 8 AP courses just to get into college. Do you think advanced placement classes are worth it? Or as John Tierney says, a scam? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I want to introduce another voice here into the conversation in just a moment, John Tierney, but I do have to ask you, you hinted a little earlier that you have received a little bit of a backlash from your article. Trevor Packer, who's the senior vice president for the College Board's AP program, he's the guy who heads it at the College Board.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote to NPR, because you were on an NPR show not that long ago, and I have to just read part of his critique of you.
Sure.
He says, quote, this is Trevor Packer of the College Board, "I was disappointed that Mr. Tierney hadn't demonstrated the same critical thinking skills we see so effectively deployed by AP students who recognize that hyperbole and overstatement should be used sparingly, that intellectually honest arguments must be grounded in evidence, and that complex issues require careful thinking," end quote. So basically, Trevor Packer is saying, this might be your personal experience, but it doesn't reflect what he believes is the reality of the AP programs.
Mr. Packer's wrong. And, of course, that is the position that he would take. I did put thought into it. I have evidence for all of the points that I made in there. And he may not like what he regards as hyperbole, and I admit there's some in the piece, but I wrote it to be provocative because I think this is an important subject that is not sufficiently discussed in American education.
Hmm. Well, let's bring in that other voice, as I promised. She is Rebecca Lewis, and she's joining us in the studio. She's a science teacher at the English High School in Boston, where she teaches AP chemistry. Rebecca Lewis, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So you're an AP teacher right now in a high school which has often been seen as struggling, a very diverse student body. What's been your experience as an AP chemistry teacher?
So this is my second year teaching AP chemistry at English High School. And I've had a really amazing experience seeing how this course has influenced my students. Previously, I had taught just regular chemistry and honors chemistry. And I think having the perspective of AP has really changed how I view those courses. AP, the benefit to me of College Board is that they set a very high standard for the content and skills that the students have to master. Before teaching AP, I had very little perspective on just how little of the content we were actually addressing in the regular courses compared to what students would need to do in a college course.
At English High.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but it's interesting, and I'm very glad to have you. And Mr. Tierney, do feel free to jump in here at any moment, because, you know, John Tierney makes a point in your article that it's very often the exact type of student who we see at English High, who may be minority, may not be a native English language speaker, who may not have the advantages of a typical student who goes to Newton Country Day, who doesn't get a chance to be in an AP course. So tell me, what advantages do you think the AP atmosphere inside your classroom confers to the students, if any?
So I think you make a really great point, and that's one of the things that I love teaching at English High School, is that I feel like I have the opportunity to provide these rigorous these experiences for all students. So the biggest thing that I have seen happen, as soon as the students first start their AP class, it's their first opportunity where they're taking a class where every other kid in the class cares as much as they do. So many students at my school, they go through all of their classes. They're maybe one of a few students who's really working to their max, working every day, doing all of their homework, having a successful experience. And so it's a really powerful experience for students when they are suddenly surrounded by a group of their peers that's as successful and as hardworking as them.
So a really good educational atmosphere for them. But what about that actual AP test that we were talking about earlier, that one where you take at the end of the year, you can score between 1 on the low end and 5 on the high end, and kids who score 4s or 5s may be able to use that as reason to not have to take certain courses in college. Now, that is up to debate at the moment. But how do they do on your AP chemistry test?
So our students have had a lot of difficulty reaching successful levels of scores on the AP exam. But in my opinion, looking at the final result that they get on the AP exam is looking at the value of the AP course with a very limited lens. So our students, in the past several years, we have not had any students pass the AP exam. However, I feel that the students have still benefited tremendously from the course in terms of preparation for college and their ability to become independent learners, their work ethic, their ability to respond to setbacks, and all of these skills that are really going to help them to be successful in the future.
John Tierney, I mean, what's your response when you hear that there's educational benefit, even if it's not translating into high scores on an AP chemistry exam?
I think that is true for many students, and I think that Rebecca's comment speaks to a bifurcation in the American educational system that, you know, we see sort of across the board, that there is a big difference between struggling schools, that are underfunded, often in cities, and wealthy suburban public districts and private schools.
I mean, you've said, you told our producer Jessica earlier that, for example, your students who would follow, I would suppose, on the upper middle class, upper class scale of things, it wasn't so much the AP test that they cared about, but getting the AP on their transcripts.
Exactly.
And by the time test time rolled around, they already knew where they were going to college.
Exactly.
They paid their down payment.
Accepted.
And what did they do on their actual AP test?
Well, I had many students who told me that they sat there for the full 2.5 hours and randomly filled in bubbles on the multiple choice section and doodled or drew on the the essay questions. And teachers get the essay question sheets back, and indeed, many times over the years, I saw, you know, student doodles instead of essays. So I think that it's true for many students who are kind of traditionally underserved and disadvantaged, this is a great opportunity. But part of my critique of the AP is that too many of those students are left out of the whole AP opportunity. The College Board likes to claim that every year, gee, we've got an increase in the number of minority and low-income students who are taking the test. Well, that's true, but every year there's a big increase in the number of students overall taking the test, and the percentage of minority and low-income students is going down, at least not improving.
The College Board has acknowledged that, at least especially amongst African-American students, they are still underrepresented
right.
in terms of in AP courses versus their population in the high school. schools
exactly.
Overall. But on the other hand, they're also telling us that the passing scores nationwide have gone up every year.
Very slightly. If they've gone up, I'd be surprised to see that the mean is statistically significant.
Rebecca Lewis, let me ask you. So I took your point earlier, but let me have you respond to what John Tierney says, and that is like, do you see your students translating their experience in your AP chemistry classroom, you know, hopefully to colleges if indeed those who do go.
So being only my second year teaching the course, it's hard for me to really comment on exactly what trajectories my students take after taking my class, but I have kept in touch with a lot of my students from last year's class, and many of them have gone on to college and have had very, very successful first semesters. I don't know if I can attribute it 100% to the work they've done in my course, but I'd like to think that at least some of the skills that they learned and the stamina and the endurance that they learned from you know, the level of challenge that I provided for them has helped them in college.
Okay, well, we've got a lot of listeners who want to join us. We are talking about AP classes, and our guest John Tierney, who was both a professor at Boston College and Georgetown and also a high school teacher, he's written in theatlantic.com saying AP classes are a scam. We also have with us Rebecca Lewis, who's a science teacher at English High School in Boston, and she teaches AP chemistry there. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. On Radio Boston's Facebook page, Bridget Leahy writes, I took AP courses in high school, and although I had 5 qualifications, I had to take the subjects again at university. Whereas on the other hand, a couple comments down, Jay Bazzanotti wrote, I took AP classes at Dedham High School. They set the bar so high, I was terrified by what I was about to face in college. But when I got to college, the classes were so easy in comparison, I was way ahead of most of the other students. So let's turn to the phone lines. Christine is calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air, Christine.
Hi there. So I'm calling in support of the AP exam, because I went to an underachieving public high school in the suburbs of Boston, and I later went on to go to a nice liberal arts college. And AP exams were the only thing that sort of leveled the playing field. And, you know, my fellow friends who had gone to Milton Academy also had AP exams. We all took the same test, and I felt like it was the only thing that gave me clout in my school that was just had, you know, poor teachers and everything. It gave me the ability to do the same exact thing that kids at prep schools all over the country also had the opportunity to do.
Christine, thank you so much for calling me. John Tierney, what's your response to Christine? It gave her clout.
Well, I think that may be, and it may give her confidence, too. You know, I think she's fortunate in that regard. I'm not sure that that's the experience that everybody has.
Well, let's take another call. Tom is calling from Boston. You're on the air, Tom.
Hi, it's actually from Gloucester. Yeah, I've enjoyed this discussion. I have two children, a boy and a girl. They both went to a very good public high school in Bethesda, Maryland, and they both took a boatload of AP courses. This was back in the late 90s and the early part of the century. I graduated from high school in 1967, also in a public high school in New York, in Westchester County. And I think my educational experience in my advanced U.S. history class when I was a senior in high school not only prepared me much better for college, but also has lasted a lot longer than their AP experience prepared them for. That's my impression, speaking as a parent. Mm. In our U.S. history class in high school, you know, we had Regents exams, state Regents exams at the end of the year that everybody had to take, and so our history teacher gave us the textbook. And made us responsible for reading the textbook. And every Monday we'd have a, you know, 25 question quiz. But at the end of the week, he'd also make us read a chapter of some fairly demanding college level textbooks, college level text, not textbooks, and make us synthesize each chapter. He called it a press C.
Tom, I'm going to jump in here on you because I'm sorry to do that, but I do want to actually have a chance to have our guest respond to your main point, which was very interesting, and sorry about getting Boston confused with Gloucester there. And that is Tom, John Tierney, I'll turn back to you. Tom is saying that his experience in AP courses in 1967 wasn't terribly different from what he sees his students in, or his own children in public schools in Maryland just a few years ago, and he actually didn't think that their experience was any better now than it was his was in 67. And the reason why I wanted to take that to you is I'm curious, do you think that it's the nature and content of the courses that hasn't changed or has changed that's part of the problem?
I may have not been listening carefully, but I thought I heard him say that he thought that his kids' courses were not quite as rigorous.
Were
as
not
the
quite
ones
as rigorous, yeah.
And that comports well with what my sense is, that there has in fact been a kind of a dumbing down of these courses as the audience for them has broadened. So that's one of my critiques. The label advanced placement seems misplaced. It is true, and it's to the College Board's credit, that in some disciplines like biology and U.S. history, the College Board is making a concerted effort to revise the curriculum for these courses and make them more rigorous and give the individual teachers more flexibility, room for creativity, and so on. And I'd like to see them do that across the board.
Rebecca Lewis, as we've been talking about the number of students nationwide and even in Massachusetts expanding quite rapidly, who are taking AP courses. Part of the reason it seems for that is that a lot of students have relaxed the requirements for getting into them. And I was just wondering what the requirements are in English high school for students who want to take AP courses. Is it open to any student?
So we have a very open policy for AP classes at our school. Generally, students do take a year of chemistry, although there have been some exceptions where really bright and exceptional students have been identified and allowed to actually take AP chemistry without having taken chemistry previously. So we have fairly open access to the courses.
And do you think, has that worked for the students, or do you find that maybe there are some students who are taking the courses who shouldn't necessarily be there?
So in my experience in the past 2 years, I've definitely seen that there are students in my classes who are ready for that material and who can really benefit and access from the material that I'm teaching them, and other students who are not quite ready to be there. And I thought a lot last year about whether or not we should make changes to how we accept students into the class. And time and time again, after thinking about this, I continue to feel that the students who are in the class, even if they're not able to access all of the content on as high of a level as the other students, are still benefiting tremendously from the experience.
Mm. Let's take one more call here. Mort's calling from Boston. Mort, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me. I think Mr. Tierney is completely missing the point. The conversation needs to be not about the 1%, but about the 99%. And as the leader of the Mass, Math, and Science Initiative, I've had the opportunity to work in 61 schools across the Commonwealth, and we've doubled the number of students taking AP Math, Science, and English courses, and doubled the number of students earning a qualifying, or if you will, a passing score. Though I would make the argument, as one of the other guests did, that the value is in participating in a rigorous course. It's the non-cognitive component, let's call it grit, that is really bearing out as we watch our students move into post-secondary education.
Mort, stand by here for just a second. So John Tierney, this is Mort Orloff, president of the Massachusetts Maths and Science Initiative, saying expansion of these programs is a good thing.
I disagree. Mort says let's stop paying attention to the 1% and pay attention to the 99%. That's my criticism exactly, Mort. By putting all of these resources into AP courses, one of the things we're doing is ignoring all of those kids who are not taking AP courses. You also set up this false two-class system in high schools. One of the great jokes at Newton Country Day School was that students in the regular American history course in the junior year felt that the standard American history course was far more rigorous and challenging than the AP course. Let's do that for every student and stop pretending that AP is the end-all and be-all.
Mort, we've just got a couple seconds before we have to wrap up this segment. I'm just wondering if you have a quick response to that.
Sure. If we don't go after the great big middle of the class and try to move them into more rigorous work, we're missing an opportunity to reach out to not only minorities, but a huge number of low-income students that sit in that middle area.
Mort, I'm gonna take it back from you there, and I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but thank you so much for calling. Rebecca Lewis, in the last literally about 30 seconds that we have here, overall, it sounds like you want to continue teaching AP Chemistry, and it's a good thing for your students.
I definitely do, and I just want to reemphasize the point that Mort was making about providing opportunities to the majority of the students and not just to the top 1% of students.
And to swing to the other perspective, though, John Tierney, we've had a lot of people who wanted to get in on the phone and people who were on our Facebook page saying the pressure to take AP classes for some students is higher than it's ever been, and it may not actually be good for them educationally.
I agree. As the movie Race to Nowhere clearly demonstrated, I don't think it is good for them.
Well, John Tierney is a former Boston College and Georgetown University professor. He also taught at Newton Country Day School for a decade and is author of AP Classes Are a Scam, which appeared in the Atlantic.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Rebecca Lewis, a teacher at English High School in Boston who teaches AP Chemistry there. Pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, keep this conversation going at radioboston.org. There's more of the show coming up in just a bit. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.